Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Any of the interviews that you hear on the Wendy's Big Show, you can find them on demandradio.com. It's a free app, or at 1057fmthefan.com. We'll get those up as soon as we get cleared to do so. Tim Allen in for the guys today. Wendy's Big Show, 414-799-1250. Doing a little bit of a quote-a-thon here. I've been saving quotes, and you know, I started this I'm going to say about 10 days ago, guys, and I really didn't know how I was going to use them or even why I was collecting them. But I, you know, as it continued to grow, as this list continued to grow, I just kept adding and adding and adding. And it turns out that there are, you know, I think, I don't know, I lost count at like 50 or 60 of these things. So we'll get to a couple more here. But I do want to know what you're up to this weekend, because restrictions are being loosened a little bit. I mean, we're not going to be in that knucklehead quotient, are we? But, you know, I've got a barbecue that's going on Sunday. So it's supposed to be, at, you know, not just better temperatures, but warm, maybe even leaning on hot. I like that. But I will be doing that. There'll be a baseball, basketball, and a frisbee thrown around at that gathering. But I want to get your reaction, if you have any, on some of these quotes. How about this one? Former health director of the state of Arizona. Quote, pro athletes are at extremely low risk for the virus, but they are the demographic most likely to be asymptomatic carriers. So the lower risk, but it's asymptomatic. I mean, that's a former health director in Arizona. How about Max Scherzer? His quotes regarding coaches and trainers. They are constantly working with every single player on the team and understanding how infectious this disease is. That's where you worry, that you could be putting someone into harm's way. That's from Max Scherzer. 799-1250, if you want to join some of these comments. Or what Bob Nightingale, he says 90% sure that we're going to be firing up baseball around Major League Baseball cities that would allow it on July 1st. Mike, in my old stomping grounds, Kenosha, what's happening, Mike?
What's up, Tim? Hey, when are you going to get your own show? You are
a I do. As soon as baseball is back, I get it.
Oh, really? Okay. You know what? I think baseball in general, I think we should just hold off. And it's too much too quick. I want to see the best at their best in a regular season. I don't want to see it in a shortened season. I don't want to see it in a, you know, potentially when people stop play again. That's just where I'm at. To me, you know what they should do, Tim? And I don't know if you agree with this. They should do the minor leagues. Every team take their minor league prospects and go to Arizona and put them in play.
And put them as the major league team?
Exactly. That'd be awesome. You know, I would love to see you. I follow minor league through you, Bill Michaels. But yeah. I don't really follow them myself. You know what I mean? But it would be awesome to see them on TV playing in Arizona.
All right, Mike. Mike, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, here's the problem if they do wash the season out. Just there's no baseball. Just it's that year with no baseball. I mean, that would be, wow, historic for sure. And to some, understandable. The problem with that is the why. If the why comes down to economics, if the why comes down to the money, that's the reason. And it wasn't the pandemic. It was the money. That's the problem. Baseball is going to have a tough time recovering from that if that's the reason. Yeah, I'm not sure that that is going to fly with a lot of people. I mean, I was really surprised, honestly, and I was just getting into the sports side of my career at the time. That was in a few years, I guess, at the time of the strike in the early to mid-90s. And I was surprised that it took a little longer for baseball fans to reacquire the taste, if you will. I was kind of surprised at that. For me, it was just like, oh, yeah, it sucks. Strike sucks. But, hey, it's opening day. Here we go. It never really fazed me, much the same as the PED situation. The home run race, McGuire and Sosa and all these guys doing their thing, and then it comes out. It would be similar to that if it were based on a financial disagreement. And that would sour people because they were soured on the PEDs, they were soured on the strike, and they were well, and the strike was a money thing, so there's some parallels here. But if the reason is money, Mike, to answer your question, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow because as we just discussed with Bob Nightingale, it could lead into some really damaged opinions, some damaged feelings between the Players Association and the league. And that could drip over into that bargaining agreement, which needs to be up. This thing is up at the end of next year, at the end of next season. I know throughout the last year or year and a half or so on the postgame show, Billy and I were referring to that quite a bit, that new collective bargaining agreement. That CBA is of the utmost importance. And you want to hamper that? You want to go in all soured? I don't think that's a good idea. More quotes on the quote-a-thon today. Carlos Carrasco, who has some health compromises, quote, "I just want to be a good dad and take care of my family. I have to do it. I know some people told me that you have to take care of yourself because you have these compromises. But at the same time, I'm a father, a son, a friend, a brother, so I have to do everything for my family." Carrasco, who is, you know, health-wise compromised in this, he still says he wants to go back. Guys, I'm not necessarily picking us. I'm just reading you the quotes here. I would love baseball, make sure it's safe, and get back on the field. That's where I'm at. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. Executive Director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Civic Impact, quote, "I wouldn't want to put players in Atlanta's ballpark. You have to determine where to play based on models. You cannot bring players into hotspots. You will know between mid-May and June where the new hotspots are, potentially." CEO of a risk management firm who works with the NFL and Major League Baseball, quote, "The challenge of figuring out how sports will be staged safely fries my brain. There are 8,000 issues. No one knows exactly what to do because this has never happened. It's a true black swan moment." I like that one. That should be right at the top of the memo in any proposal back and forth between these leagues and its players that want to be compensated, that want to be safe. Hold on, let me get that one again. Hold on. CEO of a risk management firm working with the NFL and MLB, quote, "The challenge of figuring out how sports will be staged safely fries my brain. There are 8,000 issues. No one knows exactly what to do because this has never happened. It's a true black swan moment." Compromise. There's got to be some compromise. It's got to be safe compromise. You'll find out later in this quote-a-thon that there are some players that think the proposal of restrictions, of the safety proposals, are too tight. Stick around for that in just a bit. President of the National Center for Health Research, quote, "Whatever anyone is doing who is near you is going to affect you. Just because you're not going to get it, A tattoo, say, when you're in Georgia, when your team is playing the Braves. If the person serving you at the restaurant is married to a person that got a tattoo or married to the person who is the tattoo artist, then you, as a customer at that restaurant or even picking up carryout, has the potential for being contaminated by those who are doing those things. I understand what he's saying. But then notice we don't say when. We're not saying when we can get back. All I want is a target date. At least MLB's proposal has a target date in there. Speaking of which, before the break here, it looks as if the Venetian in Las Vegas, this will be good news to Vegas junkies like me. Venetian might be the first to open its doors. That could happen on June 1st. We'll find out. Flamingo, part of Caesars Group, that may open up shortly thereafter. So we're seeing some movement here with plenty of employees. And again, at some point, there's compromises all over the board. 414-799-1250. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Tim in for the guys today here on AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story. Brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage, 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
Welcome back. Some breaking Brewers information as the LA Times is reporting a story about Ryan Braun and the city of Milwaukee. Sam?
Yeah, according to the LA Times, Ryan Braun has put his condo in Milwaukee on the market. It's listed at $1.15 million, which overlooks Lake Michigan currently.
$1.15 million. I think maybe Yelich should just take it over, right?
Yeah, who's going to buy that at this time right now?
He's going to be around quite some time. I mean, why not? Brawny, that's not a, you know, again, I don't know how long he's going to be here, guys, but it doesn't appear too much longer. He made those comments about retiring, maybe his last spring training. We talked to Adam McAlvey yesterday about that, and Brawny had made comments about, well, this could be my last Cactus League game and my last, you know, spring training game and things like that. So Ryan Braun puts his Milwaukee condo on the market, $1.1 million. And that is a little buzzworthy, I think, from Beauforting, I would say, certainly. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will have Sam Monson, lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. And additionally, in about an hour, Scooter Jeanette stops by. You're going to love this conversation. Stick around for that. Also, Tom Kesnick, godfather of fantasy football, will be with as well. And we're talking about my quote-a-thon that's going on here for this Friday's Wendy's Big Show as I'm in for the boys. All over, we got some experts, former players, union reps. We've got executive directors, former health people, current professors, and I'm extremely entertained by all the different angles. Sam, you and I have looked over some of the restrictions with regards to players going back to work and playing some baseball games. It's thorough, I will tell you that. My look at it is pretty damn thorough.
Yeah, I mean, it's 67 pages, so I'm glad that they're trying to, you know, take as many precautions as possible. But I'm just reading over these, man, that Plucker wrote down in a rundown today, and I just can't believe it. If I was a player, which I've heard a couple times already, it doesn't even really feel like baseball if I can't, you know, be spitting sunflower seeds or, you know, all these stuff that is just culture for baseball, really.
It is, and they're going to be tough habits to break. Former Brewer Gabe Kapler, now current manager of the San Francisco Giants, finds his way into the quote-a-thon. I'll have that for you in just a second here. But some additional quotes Dodgers medical director and president of the Professional Baseball Athletic Trainers Society. Quote, if you saw Clayton Kershaw walking into a CVS, what's going to keep people from going up to him? That's definitely a worry. Okay. I really don't have a comment on that one. Infectious disease expert at the University of South Carolina, quote, if you are doing daily testing and have the ability to pick up very low numbers on the virus, pick it up as soon as somebody has the ability to transmit to others, I believe it could be effective, especially if players are diligent about social distancing and limiting their exposures away from the ballpark. And this, and you'll see in some of the other quotes, a little bit of a theme here. These are dudes in their 20s, and nothing against guys in their 20s. But you make different decisions when you're in your 20s than you are than in your 50s. Some of the proposal there has, you know, lock yourself into a hotel room and immediate family members only. What about your girlfriend? I mean, think about it. You're 24-year-old on a $3.5 million deal, and you can't have your girlfriend in? I don't know if that's going to fly for some of these players. So what do you do? Do you test the girlfriend? It puts in for a good thought. Yale professor of health policy, quote, I believe baseball's plan should work. Data suggests that the prevalence of the virus among top-level athletes is likely to be extremely low. Plus, it will be easier to limit exposure without fans. Yeah, see, the fan thing, I'm still hopeful. I'm still hopeful, and I still think it's going to happen. I definitely believe you will have the ability to go into Miller Park and see a baseball game this season. I believe that. Sam, you believe that?
I believe there will be a season. I'm just skeptical about playing all these games at their home parks. And, you know, then you get into travel and stuff like that. That's where I think things get a little tricky.
But see, if they're saying that a lot of this is unpredictable because it's so fluid that things are changing, philosophies are changing, perspectives are changing, health experts are you know, high credible and genius people at these facilities are disagreeing on certain things. That's why I have the hope, because they don't know. Some of them truly admit it. We've never done this before. So that's why I say I'm hopeful. I don't know what life is going to be in October. And I don't think too many people do. I know I trust people to make good decisions. So that means it will limit some things, won't it? I mean, it kind of will. We're not going to go hugging on each other in a big sweaty mess at an AC/DC concert this summer. We're not doing it. I don't believe as a whole we're going to do that. That gives me hope, and that's why I'm just, maybe it's just wishful thinking. And admittedly, it probably is. I don't know. But I believe there'll be the ability for me to go with limited attendance allowed. I believe we can go to a Brewers game at Miller Park this year. I believe that. Dan Plucker, do you believe that?
I'm kind of more on the side with Sam here. I think that the NBA has the idea right of trying to find one central location or two central locations to hold this thing. I mean, baseball was talking about that with maybe doing Florida and Arizona, but I think there are too many logistical problems with not enough fields, especially with the heat in both of those areas, to sustain that many teams being together. But I think if they could find a central location to have all of this figured out, it would probably be the most ideal situation for the league as a whole.
Fair enough. As the quote-a-thon continues here, director of the Harvard Health Institute, guidelines are pretty clear that anybody who makes substantial contact with somebody who has the virus needs to be quarantined. I think baseball has to ask themselves, on what basis are they going against the CDC guidelines? How confident are they going to be that another player on another team didn't have substantial contact? It just strikes me as risky. My feeling, it just depends on how lucky you feel. Well, I can tell you in my life, the luck hasn't been on my side. It's starting to turn a little bit, but in my personal side of things, it's been an unlucky roll, so I guess I should watch it. When it comes to, we don't want to depend on luck, do we? Wow. DC health expert, quote, I could understand not quarantining for 14 days because potentially you'd end up never being able to play, but not quarantining at all seems dangerous as well, end quote. Now, these are all quotes that most of these, if not all of them, are valid. Some against, some for. Experts against and for. That's crazy. And that's why, this is exactly why I collected these quotes. We have some news from Daniel Plucker. What do you have,
Yeah,
man?
I got some breaking news here on The Fan, brought to you by Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. John Heyman and Jeff Passan reporting that there will be no pay cuts and no furloughs for the Milwaukee Brewers scouting and player development departments for the entire 2020 season. Top executives and some of their MLB staff are going to be taking pay cuts.
That's interesting, because one of the reports was that the Milwaukee Brewers without fans are going to lose $135 million. $139, I think the report was. Run that by us again, Dan. This is sort of kind of cool here.
Yep, so... here, I'll read it better from Ken Rosenthal, who said, Brewers baseball operations staff will remain intact for the entire 2020 season. No furloughs. Only the top executives with the team will take pay cuts.
Wow. See, the guy's making a ton of money. That's cool. Taking care of us little guys. I like that. That's why I love this Brewers organization. It's good people. We'll get to one more in here. Former Arizona health director, quote, MLB developed a reasonable plan. The idea of the CDC guidance is to minimize risk. So if you find another way, that's okay. Guidance should not be one size fits all. This may even be better because of the frequency of testing, which is robust. So see how it's crazy how these experts, and this is mainly with the world of sports here, how these experts go back and forth on this. I don't think it has anything to do with your political allegiance. Some does. Some of these things do. But I think most of it is just people giving their intelligent opinion, right? Yeah, it's crazy. The quote-a-thon continues all over the road, like a roller coaster on steroids, like swerving all over the road, easiest place to get hit. We got to make good decisions here. I trust that the people in positions of authority will do that. All said. 414-799-1250. We'll switch gears a little bit. Less than 1 hour, Scooter Gennett. If you haven't heard this conversation I had with him yesterday, you're going to want to. Got a fantasy football question. I know I've got to submit my keepers in a keeper league. I'm curious about a couple of players. Tom Kesnick will join us at the top of the hour. And up next, another football question to a national guy, Pro Football Focus NFL lead analyst Sam Monson will answer the question, is Aaron Rodgers getting some undue heat throughout that draft and the conversations or the draft pick? throughout the conversations about Jordan Love. 799-1250. You want to jump in here? Tim Allen in for the guys today, just keeping you company on a Friday. Dan Plucker is here. There's Sam Schmitz. No Gary, no Leroy, no Sparky. Some well-deserved time off. It's the Wendy's Big Show. AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Yeah, welcome back. It's the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Tim Allen in for the boys today. No Leroy Butler, no Gary Ellerson, no Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Looks like a nice weekend. Hopefully you can air some things out. You've been cooped up for quite a while. And thanks for listening. Appreciate that. Tom Kesnick, top of the hour. Scooter Jeanette will join us in about 40 minutes or so. Right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, we find Sam Monson, NFL lead analyst, Pro Football Focus. Sam, thanks for the time.
No problem. How's it going, guys?
It's going okay. All right. The NFL, in my opinion, and everything I'm reading, I read a ton, obviously, with what we do. They ought to thank Major League Baseball for getting in a scuffle between its union and the league. Because the NFL, to me, it just seems kind of very stoic, laying in the weeds, and they're going to plan on this, that, and the other thing. But sort of a quiet kind of feel to the NFL. What is the latest, Sam, on the NFL and their assumption that they'll get back playing week one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the NFL had the biggest advantage of pretty much any major sports league, certainly in the U.S., but maybe even in the world, because you know, their season isn't even scheduled to start until September. So they had a lot of runway to let this thing play out and see what the landscape was going to look like before they had to do anything, you know. And they're going to get the benefit of a lot of these other sports leagues, you know, trying to come back early or trying to finish a season or get a season started. So, yeah, I think it makes sense that the league has to sort of bide its time, let some other people, you know, almost make some mistakes along the way and learn from those and just quietly kind of work on some contingency plans. And I think that's effectively what you're seeing. You know, they've set out a schedule. It's got some flexibility. It's got some pressure points built into it that they could, you know, adjust if things go that way. But ultimately, they're going to plan on, you know, obviously some kind of truncated offseason, but a regular season looking as close to normal, at least in terms of schedule-wise, as they could make it.
You know, when you talk to some of these players, do they feel that, you know, COVID's the one thing, the one main safety factor, but, you know, these guys get into a regimen, as you know, Sam, that, you know, maybe it's an injury sort of thing, because as you said, their off-season is a little bit different. Are they concerned about that aspect of it?
I mean, I think like everybody else, you know, everybody's an individual, right? And there are some players that don't care. There's some players that think, look, I'm young, I'm fit, I'm healthy. Somebody's going to pay me a lot of money to go out there and play a game. Let's get on with this. But there's players out there that have, you know, vulnerable members of their family, whether it's elderly relatives, whether it's children with pre-existing conditions. You know, not everybody is the same. Those guys are not going to want to take this risk. Those guys are not going to want to expose their family to a higher risk than they need to. So I don't think it's, you know, I think like everybody else, there's no one brush we can paint everybody with. Some players are only too eager to get back out there and get moving, and some players don't want to take additional risks unless it's absolutely necessary.
Let's bring it home here a little bit to the Green Bay Packers, and they trade up to get Jordan Love, and Rodgers was very vocal and transparent, saying, hey, I wasn't thrilled, you know, particularly with the pick, but he should know the other side. He was in almost the identical situation, only on the bottom end of that thing. I'm convinced that a good vast majority of Wisconsin State broadcasters and writers don't like Aaron Rodgers for whatever reason. It's been so negative about Aaron Rodgers. As a national guy, how do you view Aaron Rodgers?
The perception about him probably is unnecessarily negatively slanted. You know, I think everybody is looking for the downside of Aaron Rodgers. You know, so I think it's getting harder and harder to dispute the idea that Aaron Rodgers has declined or is in decline at the moment. You know, he isn't the player he was back in 2014 or 2011 or 2010, and it's looking less and less likely that that player will ever come back again. But even if you accept that, like, he's still a top 10 quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is still a really good quarterback, and most NFL teams would be only too happy to upgrade their current quarterback situation by having Aaron Rodgers as their starter. And yet all we're focusing on is the negative. It's the fact that Aaron Rodgers isn't the player that he used to be. And you know, the Packers therefore clearly need to think about the future and need to think about replacing him. So yeah, I think generally the narrative around Rodgers does appear to be strangely negative, I guess.
It is just so remarkable to me how that occurred and how it morphed into what it's into. It's like, you know, he could win a huge game with a great play, an extended play, and doing his thing out there, playground football. But yet the one thing the media and some of the fans are saying is that, yeah, but you didn't see him. He overthrew the guy in the flat. He overthrew Aaron Jones in the flat on that third down play in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just, I don't understand. Joe Montana wasn't Joe Montana when he went to the Chiefs, but he sure won a bunch of big games.
I mean, Joe Montana wasn't Joe Montana for a lot of the time with the 49ers. You know, I'm reading a book right now about Montana and Young, and the number of sort of great Montana comebacks that start only after he's thrown two interceptions to the opposition. You know, we remember what we want to remember, and we have a habit of forgetting an awful lot that went before it.
Would you, your thoughts, though, when they took Jordan Love, is that the quarterback that maybe you would have stretched for a little bit?
Probably not. I mean, there's a few aspects to this, right? There's one, were they right to start looking to the future for a potential Aaron Rodgers successor? And I don't know that I would have done it now, but it's hard to really hate that as a contingency plan going forward for any team. You know, I think generally speaking, it's smart future-proofing of your roster to do that. So I don't think you can hate that part. Then it's, you know, is Jordan Love the player that you would go after to do that? And I don't think he is, because I don't know. I think his flaws are big enough that the question about whether he'll ever eradicate those enough to be, you know, a quality franchise quarterback are severe. I mean, he makes a lot of critical mistakes. And even if you reverse back to 2018, where he was significantly better, his grade was significantly better, his numbers were better, there were still a lot of these bad plays. And he just misses too many plays for you to be comfortable with him being the answer. But then the last strand of this is, for Jordan Love, this is like the perfect situation to land in, because of all these flaws and because Rodgers is there, you know, he shouldn't have to start anytime soon, and he should have, at the very minimum, a year, probably two, to work on his game and to try and fix all the negatives that would make him such a concerning prospect as a quarterback. So for him, it's like it's a jackpot. It's hitting the dream scenario. For the Packers, it feels, you know, like a reach or embracing too many flaws to be comfortable with. But in terms of, you know, looking to life beyond Aaron Rodgers, it's difficult to hate that as a strategy too much.
You think he'll play for another team before he hangs them up?
Rodgers, I think it depends on how quickly, you know, this divorce in Green Bay gets pushed to a head. I think if they, you know, if they force him out of the door after this season, I think absolutely. If it takes, you know, 2-3 years, maybe not. But this is a guy that wants to play deep into his career. And I think the other thing is, it depends how precipitous this decline continues. You know, if he stays at the level he's at right now, he's still more than good enough to keep cooking for a different team. If this is the start of a steeper decline, and you know, in a couple of years' time, he's an average quarterback, maybe, you know, I think Rodgers might hang them up before he ekes out one more, you know, ugly year that you might prefer to forget somewhere else at the end of his career.
Yeah, final thing for you, Sam. You've seen what the Packers did in the draft. A couple of free agent acquisitions in Wagner, Funchess, and Kirksey. But in the NFC, Are they with the big boys? And by the big boys, I mean, obviously San Francisco is there, but, you know, even a Tampa, Seattle, New Orleans, one would make the argument that the Minnesota Vikings are a pretty good football team, the Dallas Cowboys. Where do you see the Packers with what they've done heading into this season?
Yeah, I think overall this offseason may have taken a step back for them. We saw last season in the NFC Championship game that they were clearly not quite in the same category as the very best teams in the NFL. I know their record says they were, but I think even Green Bay recognizes that that record was a little bit of a mirage. It was a little bit flattering to how good this team was. You know, they got absolutely eviscerated by the 49ers, and the moves they made this offseason were either about building for the future or about sort of replacing, you know, components that were leaving. You know, whether Rick Wagner coming in at right tackle to replace Brian Bulaga, at the minimum, that's probably a lateral move. And the moves they made in the draft were obviously the future with Jordan Love. A.J. Dillon is about changing the way this offense is going to look like, and I don't think that's in a positive direction. You know, they're going to this run-heavy, basically trying to replicate what the 49ers are doing, and as much as it's been successful for the 49ers, it's not really the way the rest of the league is trending. So I think this team is going to need Aaron Rodgers to be at his best for them to hang with those big boys, and they're almost trying to minimize the impact Rodgers actually has on them winning games. So it's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see how that plays out.
Well spoken. Sam Monson, NFL lead analyst, Pro Football Focus. Hey, Sam, thanks for the time. Good luck. We'll promote your podcast as well.
Thank you, guys. Take it easy.
All right, there he is. Says he joined us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Yeah, the podcast, you can get a little crabby on you at times. I like it. But interesting stuff from Sam Monson there, NFL lead analyst, Pro Football Focus. We'll continue a football conversation in just a couple of minutes with Tom Kesnick. Interested, you heard Sam Monson say there about maybe the change in the offensive game plan, if you will, or the offensive look, if you will, with the Green Bay Packers in a league that is not trending in that direction. The league is trending to let's shoot them up. Let's have a shootout here each and every week. 34-31. Someone kicks a field goal in overtime. I mean, is that the right way to go? And what does it mean for your fantasy football players? I know I'm sitting here with Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback the last 5 or 6 years in a keeper league. And it paid off. I paid a ton to acquire him 5 years ago, but it paid off in a rather lucrative Super Bowl win in a 16-team, five-keeper league. And Rodgers, I was just riding him for money, and more money. But last year, no money. And does that trend continue? So if you're in a similar situation, we'll ask Tom Kesnick, the godfather of fantasy, coming up in just a couple of minutes as well. Scooter Jeanette, pretty interesting conversation. That might be an understatement. He'll join us next hour as well. It's the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen in for the guys today. No Gary, Leroy, Sparky. It's AM 1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. How many do I have left in this quote-a-thon today? It's the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen in for the guys today here on The Fan. Sam Schmitz just asked me that. How many quotes you got left? And I'm reading quotes if you're just joining me. I've been collecting these quotes in and around the sports world with regards to the pandemic. And in an illustration to show that nobody really has the 100% answers, Sam. So I have, I don't know, plenty left. So sit back and enjoy. If we have a couple of minutes before Tom Kesnick joins us here, if you want to jump in and give your thoughts, 414-799-1250. An expert and public official. Now, again, sometimes I'll name them. Sometimes they're just not named. And these are all courtesy of the Associated Press, Fox, ESPN, ABC. will be a matter of when, not if, that a player tests positive. Okay. Sports executive familiar with baseball's plans. I like this one. He likes to give his name or her name. A sports executive familiar with baseball's plans. Quote, the sport might have to temporarily shut down at times, even after the season starts. I think that, personally, I think that is a possibility. I hope not, and I would say the odds are probably against that, but I think there is a percentage of chance. If this thing does get going, and just baseball, for example, no fans in the stands, that all the, you've heard all the guidelines and the safety measures taken in these proposals. Sam, do you think, what would be the percentage chance that you think it would be shut down once it's going?
Man, I don't know about a percentage chance, but I would be very surprised if, you know, about 30% of them were to, you know, kind of swap that down. I would just be surprised, to be honest, more than anything.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think the chances are that it would get going and then have to shut it down?
That's obviously the worst case scenario, but I honestly think that if a player tests positive, as long as it's not for baseball, let's say Christian Yelich or a Mike Trout, or in the NBA, as long as it's not a Giannis or a LeBron James or a James Harden, if it's one of those B or C level players in each of those leagues, I honestly think that they're just going to keep playing. I think they're going to.
And really?
I honestly do. I think that they would put the player to the side. They would quarantine the player, and the rest of the players might be freaked out. Maybe they'll take a week break just to make sure that, you know, everybody's mentally stable. We're all ready to go. And I think they just start up right away again.
Wow. Okay. Hey, you might be right. Who knows? I mean, we really don't know. I do believe also that there is a chance, and I think a really big chance, that once baseball gets going, we will not see some of the frontline names. Now, I don't know what you think of that. You know, not to see some of these bigger names, because they're either compromised or they just simply don't feel safe. And I've been, you know, very vocal about if an employee has enough money to sit it out and wait it out till they do feel comfortable, and he's got enough bankroll to do that, more power to him, man. I totally respect that. I get that for sure. A lot of these players aren't in that situation. Although you think they're, you know, set for life, most of these guys are not set for life. They're not set for, and that's a big definition, set for life, where they could just stop playing right now and never work again. Most of these players are not in that situation. But I think you will see players that think so much about their safety and their family safety and friends and whatnot that they just won't come back until they feel comfortable. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. A couple more on the quote-a-thon. Critical care doctor at Oregon Health and Science University. Quote, if they say we can get the number of tests we need, but people that should be getting tested are not, it's just rude. Okay, we had another expert that said that before. Current Giants manager and former Brewer Gabe Kapler on his routine. Quote, I start with coffee. It's part of my routine. I quickly transition to gum. Lots of gum. Not just a couple of pieces, a lot of gum. I don't like the sweetness, but I like the size of the gum. My normal behavior is that I spit a lot of the gum juice out. From there, I transition to seeds, sunflower seeds, in the middle of the game. As much as you can fit in your mouth, you're just spitting the seeds on the ground. I'm not alone. I think, Gabe, dude, I love you, buddy, but I think you can go without your seeds and gum. Check that. I think you can go without spitting. I know it's a habit, but I think you can do that. That, I'm assuming, is not a deal breaker. All right, let's get to Tom Kesnick here. usually fill in around this time each and every year, and we get our first taste of fantasy football information. I know Sam's a big fantasy football player. Dan, all you guys listening, a good vast majority of you are fantasy football players, and I've been playing since the late 80s. Let's get Tom Kesnick on and see where we're at with regards to fantasy football. I have a bone to pick, not with Tom Kesnick, but with listening to some experts. I think you guys need to trust yourselves more than some of the experts out there. I got burned bad by a quote, expert last year in this keeper league. And I'll tell you what player I kept and what player I let loose. And I'm going to rue that day that I did that. We'll do that next. You're listening to the Wendy's Big Show. No Gary, Leroy, or Sparky. Tim in for the boys today. Here on AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.